Here's what happens when we go to God in prayer for others. We take a small bit of ownership in their life. And when we take that small bit of ownership, we care more. We're connected more. We remember more. And Apostle Paul is saying, I pray for you all. I make mention of you in my prayers. I think about you. I remember you. I love you. I care about you. And I want you to do well. Take your Bibles and go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I want to ask you, have you ever been overwhelmed with all that God has done for us? Have you ever been overwhelmed with the goodness and the graciousness and the love and the care of God? And we start at creation and we move forward, how God loves mankind, how God loves each person, the entire world, how that God provided salvation, how that God gave us such a fitting and good world. And not just those things, but what God made. From the mountains to the beach to the rivers and the animals that God made, the fish that God made, the delicious things that God made. The earth is the Lord's, but he certainly gave man dominion over it. How good God is. And every morning, the rising sun is a testament to his goodness. The early and the latter rain, the springtime, the summer, the harvest, and the winter. The goodness and graciousness of God. The Lord is good. He has tender mercies and loving kindness, and his mercies are new every day. Jesus is talking to the disciples. Actually, they came and said, hey, if our brother is a real stinker and in seven times we forgive him, is that good? And Jesus said, no, 70 times seven in a day. And every day the page is torn and God gives us a new opportunity. How many times have you went to God with your sin and you confessed your sin? And I know that there is a regular maintenance as a Christian, but then there's those times where we do a detail clean and we just spend some time on our face before God. And we say, God, search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. If we do not take time and do those things, we will not be clean before God. You ever, start thinking and say, what if I missed a sin? What if I missed confessing a sin back in 1948, and all this time I've been trying to live and walk with God, and that sin... You know, Job did that. And he offered extra sacrifices. God is not looking for a technicality to condemn us on. He is looking for grace to forgive and receive us. He is looking to draw us closer to himself. God desires. This is amazing. You know who you are and what you are. And the closer you get to Christ, the better you can see it because the light's better. And God loves us. And he cares for us. He has a heart for us. He has compassion on us and pity. He draws us to himself. I don't understand it, but I do accept it. The goodness and grace of God. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I just want to read a couple verses for us. Let me start in verse 2. It says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." We're going to look at these verses in this message, and I want you to know that he had been to this church at Thessalonica, and it had been on his time through the country of Greece, and this was a time when he went to the Corinthians, this was a time he went to Ephesus, and he went to Thessalonica. And here in Thessalonica, God had given him a special bond with these Christians. And certainly, when we come together under Christ, there is common ground that is provided by Jesus Christ. If there's another believer who is purchased and bought and born again and has received Christ as their Savior, there is a bond between me and that person when I first meet them, because Christ in me is getting along with Christ in them. The Spirit beareth witness that we are the sons of God, that we have a family relationship. I think about this. I thought about Pastor Jerry a few times this week. I thought about him driving up to Michigan. I thought about his family and his boys. I thought about Amaya. I thought about Heather. I thought about Silas, Alton, Mason. You know, I love them. And you love them too. And we miss him. But he didn't actually leave. He left some of himself here. He left some of his heart here. He left some of his work here. He left some of his teaching and training. He left some of it in Zach. He left some in Zane. He left some in his mom and dad. He left some in all of us. This morning we're singing that song, and I'm not hearing Zach leading it. I'm hearing Pastor Jerry. And I'm thinking about it. He would do the thumbs up if we said the refrain loud enough. He would go. And then I'm singing with Pastor Jerry, not with Zach. I'm sure you experienced the same thing, weren't you? The first time I ever sang Like a River Glorious, I sang that song with my friend Jerry Wasson. And every time I sing it now, I hear him in my mind. Brother Jerry, I've never sang this song before. You got to come up and help me lead it. And he's singing it there, and we're singing it together. And every time I sing it, it's like the first time I sung it again. And here is the Apostle Paul writing back to this church. And he's giving his love for them. But he's saying it through the thanksgiving of God. And I'm going to tell you, I told you Wednesday that generous people are rarely mentally ill. Thankful people are rarely mentally ill because they get their mindset in the right direction. I go into church and I hear somebody, and I heard our young people in the choir singing "Thank You, Lord" a little while ago in their practice. And it tuned my heart to all the things that God has done. I told you about my book, 10,000 Things to Be Thankful For. And it was got for me by someone, and I opened it up and I started looking at it. It says, for warm sweaters, for wet dogs, for walking barefoot on the beach, for drinking a grape soda and putting a little bit of vanilla ice cream in it. I'm thinking, this is a good book. And it's just page after page after page of things that we can be thankful for. And this writer who did other things, it was their hobby that they just kept a notebook and they kept writing things they could be thankful for. And as things came into their mind and their life and their memory, they'd write down things they could be thankful for. Now I want you to know that he's looking at this church, he's writing a greeting to them, and he's saying, I thank God when I remember you. I thank God that he allowed me to minister you. I thank God that where there was not a church, there is a church now. I thank God that we have had this fellowship and this relationship and that you accepted Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Here's what happens when we're away from someone. Absence does make the heart grow fonder. And all of their bad qualities will kind of fade in our memory. But if we continue to be away from them, all their good qualities will also fade in our memory. Now this is amazing to me. But when you remember something, you don't necessarily remember when it happened. You remember the last time you remembered it. And that's how our memories are able to get tweaked a little, and we can remember something like straight up and down, and it really didn't happen that way. Zane told us this week, he has a phonographic memory, not a photographic memory. He said, I will remember everything that everybody said today in 10 years. And it doesn't matter how silly or mundane it is, I'll remember it. I sure hope he remembers the preaching that way. I can identify with that, but I said, Zane, don't be too sure. In 10 years, you're going to remember everything. You might remember it now, but somewhere there's a slip in the drip as you get older. And some of you have scouted further ahead than I have and know more about that than I do. But when we stop and we remember, we typically remember all of the blessings. It makes us feel close to that person. Jackie pulled out our wedding book while her sister was here, and in the book, there was a statement that somebody bought 100 pieces of chicken or 100 pounds of chicken. Pieces? For our wedding. You know, I forgot all about that. And I'm glad it was in the book. Because I want to go back and thank that person. Not that I didn't thank them then, but I want to go back and thank them again. Sometimes we sit and take notes because it helps our ability to remember. Here it says, We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Let me read a couple more scriptures. They are the same idea, but they're from different epistles. In Ephesians 1:15-16, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. In Philippians 1:3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. In Colossians 1:3, we give thanks to God and to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. In Philippians 1:4, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. I want you to know that these five different portions of Scripture all include a thought of memory and a prayer for the person to whom it was written. It is so precious to me when somebody says, Pastor, I'm praying for you. Say, Pastor, we're praying for you as a family. Pastor, we pray for you every day. I am so helped by that. There is an unseen spiritual battle that is going on. And there are, it's not flesh and blood we fight, but principalities and powers. But I'm not the only one that is battling. As soon as you take a step forward and try to do something for God and try to move closer to Jesus Christ in your life, in your relationships, the devil and the forces of evil will oppose you and fight you. It will be a battle. We all need prayer. This week, the person I reported to as a boss took another job, gave their notice, and Thursday was their last day. And he said something to me. He was always trying to work to receive a certain result, a certain efficiency, a certain number, and everything is numbers. And all of a sudden, for a week, he knows he's not going to be there any longer, and those numbers become meaningless. He said, it's really odd for me to be here this week when I have no stake in the outcome. I'm going to be gone on Thursday no matter what happens. Now, you don't want somebody to continually be working for you in that state of mind, right? Now, here's what happens when we go to God in prayer for others. We take a small bit of ownership in their life. And when we take that small bit of ownership, we care more. We're connected more. We remember more. And Apostle Paul is saying, I pray for you all. I make mention of you in my prayers. I think about you. I remember you. I love you. I care about you. And I want you to do well. When we pray less for one another, just simply by the equation, we start to care a little less. And if we incrementally care less and less and less, pretty soon we couldn't care less. And that's how relationships. See, it's like, okay, he traveled 3 missionary trips. He went over a large part of the globe. They say that turned the world upside down, but he didn't get back to a lot of places twice. Part of what he says in Corinthians is, if God lets me come back, I'm yearning and longing to see you, but I'm going to send Timothy because that's what I can do right now. Everything diminishes and dies without care. See a time where we say, Pastor Jerry, And somebody go, who? No, that would never happen. I'll say, Pastor Moody. And some of you will know, and the rest of you go, what? Somebody who gave a good portion of his life and loved and served here. But his memory diminished over time. We're talking about the logistics. Outside of these letters, the Apostle Paul doesn't appear to ever have gotten back to Thessalonica. He was able to write them and tell them how he loved them. But physically to go back to that place, it doesn't look like he got to go back there. But the people did well. It says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. I went to Mick's house over in Pendleton, and Mick has a room, a little office, and he's so happy with what God's given him. And in that little room, he has a wall where he has placed pictures, and many of you are pictured on that wall as someone that he sits there and looks at the wall and he prays for you on a daily basis. He told me a few different times. He said, Pastor, I used to have this big prayer list and I had up this bulletin board and it helped me to remember to pray every day. And I used it when I prayed. And he said, I don't have that and I don't really go over that list as much as I used to. And now he's gotten back to a point where he has that list and he goes over it and he has the opportunity to remember. He has the opportunity to pray. And the more that he prays and the more that he remembers, the more that he'll love. And he might be three and a half hours from us. But closer in memory and in love than some of us that live very close to one another are to each other, because we do not support one another spiritually. We end up with no stake, no ownership, and less care for one another. Let me continue in verse 3. It says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. As he's praying, his memories are coming back from them. I looked at the pictures that Rachel put together for Zane's graduation. And I saw Zane all the way from this big to this big to this big to little grandpa to, and I thought about all his little mannerisms and all of the things that he did and just, remember Zane coming in with his hands like this and blood dripping off both his elbows. I remember all these little things. And all of those memories and all of those heartfelt moments pushed it to 10 minutes. It was more than my heart and mind could handle. I felt a stress of all those memories piling up inside of me. And it was a stress of love and good remembrances. And it overwhelmed me so that it poured out my eyes. I shed some tears, not because I wasn't happy or was sad, but because I was so grateful and thankful. And I don't stop and think each day or remember all these little nuances of what makes Zane, Zane. Your mom was afraid that people would call you Insane Zane when we named you that. I'm afraid that people aren't calling you Insane Zane. I stop and I think about some of the good traits that God put in you. He says in another place that the thing which the Lord has begun in you that he'll complete until the day of Jesus Christ. He mentions some things about this church. He says, I remember your work of faith. We go back to Hebrews 11 and we see a work of faith and we see all these names and by faith, here's what they did for God. Here's what they were directed to do. Here's what they believed God for. What is a work of faith? It's something that we're doing and we're trusting God. Let me read you a couple of scriptures in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your work of faith. In 2 Thessalonians 1:11-12, wherefore also you pray always for you, or we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all good pleasure of his goodness. And the work of faith with power. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him. According to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. What is a work of faith? A work of faith is not a work of sight. I am a man who reads the directions. This last week I put something together and the directions were not as clear as they normally are. I was surprised. I need to go back and read the direction again. I have not finished that project. Right, Jake? But I got out the directions and I looked through the directions. Usually, I'll read the directions once, I'll understand them, I'll think about it, I'll read them again, and then I'll actually execute them. I built something with Pastor Jerry. He got a hold of the directions before I could. He wadded them up in a ball. And he threw it over in the corner and said, men, do not look at directions. When I look at the directions and I count all the screws this size and all the screws this size and the clip that's here, and I understand I'm not working by faith, I'm working by sight. We took that thing, we threw the directions over in the corner, and we put three things together backwards. I looked at it and figured out, we disassembled it, we fixed it, and put it back together. We eventually got it right. Our work of faith is that God's working on us. I look at here where I started and I look at where God has me right now and I can't even fill in all the gaps in the middle. And sometimes I'll say, God, I can't believe how far you've taken me. And other days I say, God, I can't believe how little I really know. A work of faith is something that God is doing inside of us. Now, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. But we're all growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And hopefully you haven't spent the last 10 years without any growth. It's a problem if you have not experienced. And so God is still working on me. He's still putting me in the fire. He's still striking on the anvil. And in all of that, he loves me, and I trust him. I don't just believe in him, I believe on him. He's the place where I'm leaning my ladder. And I'm climbing it, and I'm trusting him to hold it up. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So we have a work of faith. I think it's fascinating that the very next thing we have is a labor of love. Let me just give you three quick points about this labor of love. In Song of Solomon, 8 and verse 7, the Bible says, many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be, or would utterly be condemned. It cannot be bought. You know, all the things that money cannot buy. They can buy the doctor, but they can't buy the health. They can buy the house, but they can't buy the home. You can buy the doctor, but you can't buy the cure from the disease. You could buy the all the things. And you cannot purchase love. Many waters won't quench it. They won't overwhelm it. They won't flood it or drown it. It is so precious. If you have a relationship with love, if you have a family with love, if you have a church with love. We say, we face a failure. We face a sin, we face a catastrophe, we face a scandal, and love says, how are we going to move on from here? How are we going to continue this relationship? In our world, nearly everyone goes into a marriage with, well, we have a way out if it doesn't work. In our society, in our country, people would go to a judge 100 years ago and they'd ask the judge for a divorce, and the judge would say, you stay married one more year and you try to work it out. If somebody said that today, they'd burn the courthouse down. Because the people have become more important than the vow, than the pledge. Just ask yourself this question. Has Pastor James ever done anything that upset Miss Jackie? Angered her, frustrated her, boiled her blood? And the better question is, has a week gone by when he hasn't? I am only a man, and not a very good one, so I've learned. And she is like a saint. I am so blessed. I am so thankful. I've been pouring water and flood and everything on that candle, and it cannot be quenched. She still loves me. She still cares about me. She's still looking out for my best interest. Come home and she asked me 5 questions, and I go, was this an interrogation or something? Like, I just want to know and be part of your life, okay? No. In our house, there's one wonderful person and one old grump. I'm so blessed to live with her. That cannot be purchased. Look in Hebrews chapter 6, 10 and 11. It says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. We desire that every one of you do the same and show the same diligence to a full assurance under the hope of hope unto the end. It cannot be bought. It will not be forgot." God sees everything that's done, and he sees the heart that is offering it. Does anybody ever do something good and go, "Man, everybody's going to really think I'm the greatest"? God's like, "Hey, you had your reward. That's the end of that. You're doing that for yourself and pretend like you're doing it for me. That's just a horrible thing. You're using me." He looks at the action, the deed, and he sees the heart. See, by definition, a labor of love is some labor that we do because we love. What happens when our labor of love is not requited? When it's not met same for same? Anybody ever loved and it wasn't returned in kind? Sure. What about God, who so loved the world, and very few loved him back? The experience of having unreturned love gives us a better understanding of God. Look with me lastly in 1 Corinthians 13. We'll start in verse 4. It says, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. It cannot be bought, it will not be forgot, and it will not be distraught." Look at this and think about this and practice this. Everywhere you see charity, I'm going to read my name there, and see how you measure up. In 13:4, James suffereth long. James is kind. James envieth not. James vaunteth not himself, is not puffed up. James doth not behave unseemly. James seeketh not his own. James is not easily provoked. James thinketh no evil. He doesn't jump to conclusions. James rejoiceth not in iniquity, but James rejoices in the truth. He beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. We're back to that love that can't be quenched by many waters. Are we selfish inside our loves? Is it a labor of love? Do we have to puff ourselves up when we're done? Is it long-suffering? Is it kind? And I just wish everybody would appreciate me once in a while. Do I behave unseemly? Do I seek my own? Am I short-tempered or easily provoked? Do I have suspicions Do I think evil? We're going to stop right there this morning. This message is all about relationships, and it's all relationships. It's a relationship of friends. It's a relationship of fellow Christians. It's the relationship inside a family. It's the relationships inside a church. And part of the foundation of that is that we pray about one another. We thank God for one another. We stop and we remember one another, and then we put some effort and some work into our relationships while we're serving God together. Jesus is the focal point of our relationship, and if each person will strive to be closer to Jesus, the closer we get, the closer we'll be to one another. Not because that's our outcome or our goal, but it's our outcome. The more that we are in unity with the Holy Spirit of God, the more that we love God, the more that we focus on faith, the closer we'll be to one another, because that's how God will work it out.
You've been listening to a message from the pulpit of Town Center Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. We invite you to come visit us at 10505 Southeast 85th Avenue in Happy Valley. If we can be of help to you, please call us at 503-659-4494. We wish you God's very best.